You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Friday, March 30th, 2018. I am John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it. You can do so on iTunes or Spotify. And please leave the show a good review in iTunes if you enjoy it. We are, of course, at the end of the week, and it's a very holy and solemn day for many of you. I know it is Good Friday, and it is also the beginning of Passover at sundown. So I wish you a safe trip if you are traveling anywhere to be near friends or family. Today, we are going to talk a little bit about free agency, and you might think that that's a bit of an odd topic considering free agency is winding down. Yes, the Jets made a couple small moves this week. They brought back a backup center. They signed a depth linebacker. They're bringing a few other guys in for visits, but there really are not many big names available anymore. And the reason I want to talk about free agency is because we're near the end of it, and we can kind of assess what the Jets have done, where they are, and what they were thinking philosophically. And that's my main point today. There's been plenty of comparisons about what the Jets did in 2018 with Mike Maccagnan's first offseason 3 years ago. It was the 2015 offseason where Maccagnan inherited a ton of cap space from his predecessor John Idzik and went on a massive spending spree, which resulted in a 10-6 first year, but things fell apart in year two, and the Jets essentially had to spend 2 years digging themselves out of the hole that they put themselves to get that 10-6 year. And here they are again. They had a lot of cap space. And once again, they were fairly active, but there were some pretty clear differences in the approaches. And I think this speaks to perhaps the general manager learning a little bit some of the lessons of free agency. Now, I don't think anybody could say that the Jets were quiet in free agency this year, but there definitely was a different approach. The one thing people like to point out is the age of the players that the Jets signed. 2015, they added guys who were older, guys who were on the wrong side of 30 generally. And for the most part this year, they trended younger, the players that they signed. Now, the two most expensive deals were guys who were on the wrong side of 28, Trumaine Johnson and Josh McCown. And McCown's, of course, nearing 40, so they did not completely stay near younger players, but that definitely was a difference. But what I have my eye on more is the way the Jets utilized free agency, what their goals were, what they had in mind. And it's not so much the age that jumps out at me, although I think you can make an argument that the Jets definitely maybe learned a little bit about the dangers of bringing in older players. I think that they learned that the hard way because, again, they had that 10-6 season in 2015, and things were looking pretty good one year in, and things just fell apart as a lot of guys got old. Darrell Revis, Brandon Marshall. You know, the age definitely was a factor. But I look at the way the Jets spent money this year when compared with 3 years ago, and there are a couple things that stick out to me. Is first of all, 3 years ago, the Jets spent all the way to the cap. And if you remember, and I'll give you a lot of credit if you have a memory this good, but if you remember, the Jets actually had to restructure a deal or two before the start of the season to get themselves under the cap. That's how aggressive the Jets were in free agency that year. This year, the Jets have kind of stepped back a little bit. They've maintained a healthy surplus of cap space. They did not go all the way, and I don't think they will. I don't think that they're going to be. You could see another move here or there. You could see a big ticket move here or there, but it looks like the Jets are going to head into the 2018 season with a healthy amount of cap space in reserve, which, of course, if you're familiar with the collective bargaining agreement in the NFL, means that they'll be able to carry that over into 2019 because you are allowed to carry over unused cap space. And I also just look at the contracts they gave out, and that's part of the story. I think these are the two points I want to make, but I think they are interrelated. Back in 2015, the Jets were very aggressive, and they gave out some very lucrative deals early in the process. When you look at Darrell Revis is the one that really jumps out, but there were other fairly substantial deals, and A lot of them came in the secondary. Buster Skrine got a very healthy deal for a slot corner. Antonio Cromartie was not cheap, and neither really was Marcus Gilchrist. Marcus Gilchrist, they gave a reasonable deal for a player of his caliber. Whereas this time, I think the Jets have given out deals that were a little more modest. They made a couple splurges. Tremaine Johnson was a big contract. The deal for Josh McCown, again, that was a big contract as well, relative to the role they hope McCown plays, which in a perfect world, McCown would be the third-string quarterback heading into the season because Teddy Bridgewater is going to be looking good and a young quarterback that you draft is going to be looking good. But aside from that, they tended to focus, it seemed, more on smaller-scale deals. They didn't go crazy trying to get Jensen to play center or Richburg, the two big centers that were out there. Instead, they went with Spencer Long, who came a little more cheaply, signed a more of a middle-of-the-pack type deal at the center position, and they've made other relatively modest deals, low-risk deals, when you think Bridgewater's one, Pryor's another. And I think that that speaks to how you have to approach free agency. I think that when you're a team that doesn't have a lot of talent, it's very tempting to try and add your impact through free agency instead of trying to draft and develop it, take maybe a longer-term view, a longer-term approach. But it's tough to do things that way. It really is. And the Jets learned, I think that may be a lesson the Jets learned the hard way, is because the NFL is built in such a way to prevent the true impact talent from hitting free agency. And I know a lot of people were kind of may have been disappointed that the Jets were not more aggressive. They didn't add splashier names. But the thing is, the splashy names generally don't hit the open market. And it's something I was trying to say before free agency. It's a point I think I made a number of times, is just because Jets have a lot of cap space doesn't mean they're necessarily going to be able to add a ton of impact guys. Because a ton of impact guys don't hit free agency. You know, just having a lot of cap space, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to add everything you need in free agency. It just doesn't work. You're either going to give out bad deals, or you're going to not be able to spend all the money. And again, I see people are talking about all the cap space the Jets are going to have next year, as though you didn't learn the lesson from this year, is that the Jets weren't able to, you know, the Jets weren't able to go out there and add a ton of impact. What they were able to do was take positions where they had really no quality players and bring guys who could be credible into those situations. You know, when we're talking about, you know, Maurice Claiborne as a second corner, not the first corner this year. I mean, the cornerback position last year after Claiborne was a disaster. By bringing in Johnson, that allowed them to re-sign Claiborne on a one-year deal to make that second corner spot passable. And the center position's another one. Is Spencer Long the sexiest guy they could have signed? No. But he's a guy who makes the position credible. It's not no longer a glaring hole. And that's just the way free agency works because, again, the great players tend to not hit the open market. And one thing people always say when their team has cap space is, well, just wait till next year. You know, there's a reason we didn't spend this year. Next year's free agents class looks so great. Well, the thing about that is next year's free agent class always looks better than the current year's because a lot of the players who haven't resigned are going to resign. You know, that just will come later on. Whereas this year, you know, the year you're in, most of the key players have already resigned with their teams. You know, whereas in next year, a lot of those guys are going to wait till the last minute or close to the last minute to re-up with their old team. Attention, cancer patients. If you or a loved one lived, worked, or visited Lower Manhattan in the months after the 9/11 attacks and have been diagnosed with cancer, federal benefits and health care may be available. Attorney Eddie Markowitz has helped many families recover substantial benefits from the September 11th Victims Compensation Fund. The James Zadroga Health and Compensation Act has been extended, but time is limited. Attorney Markowitz is proud to serve as counsel to the Zadroga family. Let him help you too. These benefits are not just for rescue workers, but open to anyone who qualifies. The fund covers many cancers, including prostate, skin, lung, and breast. Please call 1-800-LAW-HELP. That's 1-800-LAW-HELP to see if you qualify. We were just talking about how next year's free agent class always looks better than this year's free agent class, and let me go back a year and tell you some of the players who at this point in 2017 were supposed to hit the open market in 2018. You want to look at corners, I'll give you Xavier Rhodes and Desmond Trufant. So those are two guys who were supposed to hit the open market and didn't. Those guys re-signed with their teams, Trufant in Atlanta and Rhodes in Minnesota. They got extensions. Le'Veon Bell was a guy who was supposed to hit the open market. DeAndre Hopkins was supposed to hit the open market. You look at some of the guys who even went down to the last minute. Bell was one of them who got franchise tagged. DeMarcus Lawrence. You know, the list goes on and on. There are all these impact names, and most of them end up re-signing with their teams. That's just the way the NFL is built. So if you look at the stars who are going to be available in 2019, forget about it. Most of those guys are not going to be available because the league is built in a way that incentivizes players for signing with their team, staying with their current team. The NFL is, of course, a very physical game, and careers don't last very long. And you could have a career that's going on great 1 minute, and the next play it's over. Or at the very least, the next play your career could be altered. You could lose your ability to play at a star level because of a serious injury. So that incentivizes you. If a team offers you an early extension, maybe you leave a little bit of money on the table. And yes, there are some players who bet on themselves and roll the dice, like Kirk Cousins, Trumaine Johnson, and it pays off. But there are lots of guys for whom it doesn't pay off. So it's up to you. But in most cases, players are going to be willing, even if they're leaving a little bit of money on the table, if they can get tens of millions of dollars guaranteed, they're going to take it. And it makes sense for the team as well because it gives the team some security. They know they're not going to lose a good player in free agency. So the guys who tend to hit free agency tend to be guys who maybe a step below, who aren't on that level of impact. And these guys are very dangerous. These guys who are like a little bit below the superstar level, they're dangerous because you introduce a number of different bidders. When teams have needs, teams get desperate. And whenever a guy who's a good player hits free agency and gets multiple teams who are desperate for a player at his position, it's, you know, basic rules of economics come into play. When demand is higher, price goes up. So these guys tend to get inordinate deals. And when you look at the early days of free agency, that's what happens is a bunch of teams get desperate for a player at one position, and they bid and bid, and players get overpaid and teams end up regretting it. So that's the danger of free agency, and that's the danger you see a lot of teams fall into. And I think it's one of the things you saw the Jets fall into in 2015. Back during the combine, Mike Maccagnan made a comment that the Jets were going to be active because that's what most of the deals get done, the early days of free agency. And I kind of cringed when I heard that, because that can be a very dangerous approach. And we saw that in 2015, where you start bidding against other teams for the top-level talent. And you end up making deals that you regret because you're paying top dollar for guys who aren't superstar. You're paying superstar money for guys who aren't superstars. And it feels like every year when you look at the analysis of free agency, when it immediately happens, the media likes to crown winners and losers. And the people who are crowned winners are typically the teams that spend the most money. But in the long run, they're not the teams that make out the best. So let's talk about the teams that make out the best in free agency. And they're not always the teams that make the splashiest moves, that spend the most money. They're the teams that let the market come to them, which was a phrase I used quite a bit in the days and weeks leading up to free agency. And what I mean by that is every player wants to be locked up the first day or two of free agency, because that's when the big money gets thrown around. That's when the desperate teams are throwing money around. Once the dust settles a couple days in, once you get into week two, week three, many players are going to become resigned to the fact they're not going to get the type of deal that they want. They're not going to get the type of contract they want. And a lot of the teams that had needs filled them early in free agency by spending a lot of money. So when demand goes down, so do prices. The teams that do well in free agency, what they do is they're patient. They wait for the market to come to them. They wait for the deals to come to them. They wait for a player who thought he was going to cash in and becomes resigned to the fact that he's not going to. The guy who lasted for a few weeks on the open market. And what they do is they look for players who are maybe undervalued by the rest of the league. Now, you look at the Jets this year, could that be a Teddy Bridgewater, a guy who maybe is undervalued due to injury, a guy who has talent? Is it a guy like Terrell Pryor? is Pryor undervalued because he had a bad year in Washington? Is the 2016 season in Cleveland, where he was pretty productive, more indicative of his ability? I don't know. It's tough to say. I mean, I can't really give you these answers, but I think that's what the smart teams do. They look for the value. And I'll give you the free agent class that I always look to. And this was a class that was 4 years ago, and it was kind of under the radar. It was what the Baltimore Ravens did in free agency in 2014. And they did not spend much money. But what they did was they got Steve Smith, a great veteran wide receiver, on a three-year and $11.5 million deal, a guy who was a star for most of his career. They got Justin Forsett, one-year deal, $730,000. He led the AFC in rushing. And Owen Daniels, a quality tight end, 1 year, $1 million. Forsett was a guy who kind of bounced around. Baltimore found that he fit their system pretty well for that 1 year. Daniels was coming off an injury. Smith was old. That's what you got to do. You got to find the undervalued guys. So did the Jets find the undervalued guys? I don't know, but I think that their approach, at least, is right. Now, whether we can give Mike Maccagnan credit, whether this will ultimately be viewed as a success, is not just about the approach. It's about finding the right guys. It's about making sure that you hit on the guys in free agency who are going to provide you with surplus value. You know, the guy who's really provides you the value of a $10 million player, but you're only paying him $5 million. That's what you're looking for in free agency. I think the Jets tried to seek these guys out this year. Whether they found the right guys, I'm not sure, but I think to me that's the biggest difference with their approach this year than their approach in 2015. 2015 they were overly aggressive. They tried to make deals early. They got into bidding wars, and they ended up giving out a lot of expensive contracts. This year, yes, there were some splurges, but they looked more for value, it seemed to me. That's at least my perspective on the offseason the Jets have had in 2018. Thanks for listening today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it. Options include iTunes and Spotify. And if you enjoy it, leave the show a good rating in iTunes. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday.